3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome everyone to the No Normal Show brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the bold, while delivering the future to healthcare's leading brands. I'm Desiree Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion. And today, I'm joined by Stephanie Wirwell, EVP of Engagement, and Chris Bevelo, Chief Transformation Officer. Hi, y'all.
Hey, hey.
Howdy. Howdy, howdy.
What a beautiful April start to the month. But we are going to be talking about a couple of headlines around peer-to-peer crowdfunding for healthcare costs, a couple of quick little nods from Bill Gates talking about the future of AI and what that means, and some updates on the image generation model from ChatGPT. But first, what have been some interesting things you've been seeing in the world?
Yeah, I could jump in. I think we say this every week. I think there's a lot going on, right? I feel like every week I'm like, there's so much happening. But there really is. I'm going to share something that's really healthcare specific. And this was something that caught some conversation in our team chat this past week. You would never think that Barbie would be something I would say is healthcare specific, but Barbie the brand was all up in TikTok commenting on Match Day, which was just really cool and created this sort of mini viral moment. It didn't actually catch news headlines, but it was a TikTok moment. And for anybody, you know, Match Day is when four-year medical students get matched with their residency program. And so I usually see it being a pretty big moment on social media every year, usually among doctors celebrating each other. But Barbie was commenting on TikTok and celebrating doctors. And they were commenting on individual doctors' Match Day posts. So it was just a really cool moment, an example of consumer brands and big brands getting in the healthcare world. But it just made my wheels turn around what we in healthcare could be doing in that kind of community engagement realm. So
is Barbie have a specialty she's focused on?
Well, Barbie has all the specialties, right? So Barbie is a doctor and an astronaut and a teacher.
No, I mean, like, is she going for gastroenterology? Is she going for ER? Was she herself matched?
No, Barbie was not matched, but hey, that's a good idea. You should call Barbie, the brand, and tell them that should be their next thing they do. No, they were just commenting on real people.
Oh. Well, there's got to be a Dr. Barbie, right?
Many Dr. Barbies.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they should have Dr. Barbie going after maybe an ER residency, since I'm a huge fan of The Pitt. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah. I don't think you've talked about The Pitt on this show, Chris.
We haven't talked about The Pitt?
I don't think you have.
Oh, my gosh. Des, are you watching The Pitt?
I am. I've been watching it while I pack and unpack and all. It's so, so good. And I love that it's all like kind of in one day.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of the first shows that I've binge watched in quite some time. Where I'm like, oh, I can watch another one. Because I was catching up in the beginning. Now I've caught up. I think there's only one episode left. But yet another TV show to add to the mix. There was a cadence of Thursday night Pitt, Friday night Severance, Sunday night White Lotus. Severance is done. That's all I got.
It's the Barbie Match Day. It's been really super cute to see how a brand is engaging and in the comments and just kind of really bringing cheer. I think the last time we saw this was when Blue's Clues popped in out of nowhere and just like brightened our day during COVID.
Blue's Clues, I know that what a reference. This is... Love it.
You remember that when he like just came up out of nowhere after like 20 years and was like, hey,
yeah,
hey, miss me? You guys look great. It was really sweet.
Blue's Clues with my kids watch Blue's Clues. That's how old I am. Yeah. I think the only thing I have close to that is, again, yeah, another TV show, The Studio, where they are trying to replicate the power of the cultural power of Barbie by buying and building a movie around Kool-Aid, which is hilarious. If you haven't seen this show on Apple Plus, it's that thread is pretty hilarious. I suppose this is spoiler alert. But their big idea is to get Martin Scorsese to write a movie on Kool-Aid about Jonestown, which is just, I'll just leave it there.
Yeah, I'm glad you're laughing. You can't even make it through a sentence laughing, Chris, because it was pretty ridiculous. I watched it too, and the moment when Martin Scorsese cried, it was just my heart broke. But anyway,
spoiler alert. Yep. Okay, there you go, Barbie. But go Barbie.
Speaking of crying, let's get into some headlines. And I mentioned crying just because, I mean, we all kind of have heard stories of just folks, struggling with paying for healthcare and what have you. But some folks have taken, things into their own hands. But CrowdHealth, a startup offering a peer-to-peer crowdfunding model for healthcare costs, is attracting members frustrated with traditional health insurance. Unlike insurance, members contribute directly to others' medical bills and negotiate cash prices for care. This model offers some lower costs, but comes with risks, and it does not guarantee coverage, excludes pre-existing conditions, and requires upfront payments. And I think it reminds me, of course, of what we have been seeing folks do for a number of years now. When a family member or themselves are dealing with something, if they're uninsured or what have you, there is something out there that they're using to crowdsource. But now we see a business model around this. So while some members report significant savings, experts caution that unregulated healthcare models may leave individuals vulnerable to unexpected medical expenses. So traditional insurance, including ACA plans with subsidies, remains a safer option for many. People are going rogue. What's your hot take? Stephanie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this was an interesting piece to see in Time. And the headline, they hated health insurance, so they started paying for each other's. I think it's just another example of the frustration with health insurance, as you mentioned, Des. That's been rising for quite some time, but in the last 5 months, since December, November timeframe, when you had, of course, the United Healthcare situation, it's just been in the mainstream media over and over and over again, I think really been part of that overall zeitgeist. I will note this type of model, you mentioned it's been around, right? I have friends who actually use this kind of crowdsourced health insurance model and have found a lot of success with it. So not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it's another example of the sort of small uprisings turning to a little bit more mainstream of wanting to leave the traditional healthcare models in all the ways and find different things that work. So I guess that's how I see it.
Yeah. And I was kind of chuckling at the quote that you gave, Des, from the experts warning that it's not as safe as commercial health insurance or the ACA. There are plenty of people who would probably say, yeah, that's got a lot of holes in it as well, particularly if you're out on the market and you're not getting a decent plan, or you're getting one of the watered down association plans that were approved. And those can leave you awfully vulnerable and have the double whammy of making you think you're covered when you're not. So it's not great out there. It's not great. It hasn't been great for, I think, longer than 5 months, but you're right. 5 months is, Stephanie, the unfortunate incident with the CEO at United Healthcare, I think is maybe the tipping point for this conversation. We'll see. We talked last week about attention spans. So I don't know how long our attention span is for all this, but, just add it to GoFundMe or any other kind of alternative payment plan that people are forced to go to just to get regular health care in this country.
It's definitely another example of just the having to go to mutual aid to support ourselves and our communities, since we are feeling kind of left out here in the cold. All right. So speaking of being left out in the cold, humans may be relegated to irrelevance. Bill Gates was recently on The Tonight Show talking with Jimmy Fallon about the future of AI. And there was a headline that caught our eye. It's not exactly what Bill said, but essentially the headline was, Bill Gates says AI will replace doctors, teachers, and more in the next 10 years, making humans unnecessary for most things. So when you see human, which I identify as being unnecessary, and especially in the next 10 years, which I'm kind of hoping to still be around by then, What does that mean? Like, what is the future of human? Just kind of curious your thoughts, Stephanie.
Yeah, well, I It was interesting to see this headline. I saw it over the weekend and I dug deep and I watched where he had the he was on the Tonight Show, Bill Gates. Interestingly, it was like a month ago that he was on the Tonight Show, but then the media picked it up like in the last 4 days. And I think the reason for that is because he's been promoting his new book, Source Code. So he's been in interview after interview. He did one with Harvard Business Review. He's done several. And so he's just been talking about this subject a lot and getting a lot of pickup. But he did dig into doctors specifically on the Tonight Show. And he talked about how intelligence is rare, specifically intelligence that's very specialty intelligence, like a doctor. He also mentioned teachers, as you noted. But what he said was that over the next decade, that kind of intelligence will become free and commonplace. So to your point, he didn't exactly say doctors will be replaced, but he suggested it. And then they had a discussion around, okay, well, what is the role of humans then in that decade plus future? And he said that, you know, we probably won't want to see robots play baseball. So he sort of insinuated that maybe there'll still be a role for humans in sports, but not healthcare. I found it a fascinating interview, raised all kinds of questions, and I am going to go read Source Code because I want to see what else there is. So I'll just leave it there because I'm sure, Chris, you probably have a take on this.
No, it sounds extreme, I know. And you have folks like this. Sam Altman said similar things. Elon Musk has said similar things. So you have these really smart tech people say this stuff, and it's very scary. But when you really just stop and think about it, what makes a doctor, what makes a teacher? It is mastery of information, right? So there's more to it than that. A great teacher isn't just somebody who understands all of the concepts and facts and data. They're also somebody who's able to convey it in a way that their audience can receive it and learn from it. A physician, you know, has to be able to understand all of the data that's in front of them. But really, it's just data. And that's the part that when you think about it, you know, if you can have something really understand that data, the capacity to understand it and manipulate it and leverage it is going to be greater than any one human. People don't quite get that with physicians. I think people think physicians know everything. I think most people would be curious to know how much each individual physician actually knows. So to me, it's not a stretch. 10 years, I don't know what the timeline. And it does raise the question of like, I'm too old to play baseball. So what am I going to do if that's all we're relegated to? But it's profound questions that people have been asking for a while. Right. And now I think we're on the cusp of having to deal with it. And if we listen to our friend, Paul Raitzer, he will hit us about the head by saying, we are not prepared. We are not prepared. We are not prepared. So we should start preparing, whatever that looks like. But I can't even imagine. Yeah, I can't even imagine the conversations that would have to happen at a national or policy level happening in any kind of smart way. I'll sleep that there.
I mean, it's like we're going to be entering our leisure era. We're going to be like Victoria, the mom in White Lotus, where she says she can't handle being uncomfortable. So we're going to be entering our life of comfort where the robots are taking care of all the things.
Yeah, there you go. We had to get a White Lotus reference into an episode. I love that. So actually, there's probably a whole sidebar around the leisure era thing because Yuval Noah Harari, the sociologist and historian, he's written a trilogy of books. And in his last one, second to last one, which is around the lessons for the 21st century. He has a whole dive into that and a whole imagination around what does that look like and how will we come to grips with it? And what is the role of humans when everything is essentially free, which is what Bill Gates is saying. So, you know, Bill Gates is not the first to talk about this, but it is really a big thing to grapple with. I think there's just so many things to grapple with before we get there is my take. But anyway.
Yes. Lots to grapple with. All right. So let's get to our main topic. And the internet has been popping off. ChatGPT has updated its visual tools it's made it easier to prompt and get exactly what you're looking for, but it's not necessarily better. But you've probably seen maybe a number of posts or your friends kind of turning their photos into an anime character known as Studio Ghibli. And that the vibe marketing also is a huge topic around, you know, how AI can be used in full force for marketers. But kind of curious, we'll go back to Studio Ghibli. You know, what are some of your thoughts on like how AI image generation has been evolving? It's very exciting. We're like, it's almost like we're there. I know we said like we're a couple of years off from it being perfection or feeling a bit more real, because things still feel very, when you look at AI, it's like, ah, that's AI. But just kind of curious, what are our thoughts on this fairy tale style of photos and all the imagery we were able to create?
Yeah, well, I'll jump in first, maybe, and I'll just first talk about the update that happened last week that made this thing a trend. So OpenAI launched an update to their image generation model. So of course, OpenAI has had an image generation model for years. There are many other image generation models. Think Midjourney, think Runway, think, you know, DALL-E is now part of OpenAI, Gemini, Veo, and others. So this update overnight, it went from image generation being like, I can tell that's AI, right? Like when you see it in your newsfeed, you know it's AI. It has like weird text and it's just, you know, the images are weird and wonky. And then overnight, the images are now almost, not quite, but almost undetectable that it's AI. So that's photography. You can zoom in and you can see really specific and perfect details like people's fingernails. It's graphic design. So the text is really strong. And, you know, yes, it can create anime style photos. And that's what caught fire, which there's a whole copyright thing there, too. So for me personally, this overnight moment was one more sleepless night in my many sleepless nights of AI. Like, I think when Sora came out, it was like, oh, my goodness moment. This was an oh, my goodness moment for me. This was like a whoa, huge change overnight. So I'll just stop there. I can come back to the whole Studio Ghibli situation because it is a situation. But Chris, are you seeing things in your feed around this?
A little bit. Yeah. I'm seeing images that people are posting, and I'm more curious about the vibe marketing, which I think is awesome and plays right into what we were talking about last week. Don't you think? I mean, if it's moment to moment, then vibe marketing is here for that. So it just, I mean, this stuff is coming fast and furious.
Yeah.
Fast and furious. We can make Fast and Furious 8 now in 20 minutes, apparently.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So vibe marketing, I'll just maybe touch that quickly, and then Des, you can bring us back to the design convo. But vibe marketing, it's the new vibe coding. So vibe coding has been this term for a while around the fact that coders, developers, or people without development skills can sort of code based on vibes, which means I want a website that feels like this. And you just tell the LLM what you want and it would create. And so now vibe marketing is this thought that like, I want a marketing program that feels like this. This is the vibe that I want. This is the energy that I want, instead of going in and actually pixel pushing yourself. So that's vibe marketing in a nutshell.
It seems to be the culmination of all the things that we've been talking about in AI, where one person sitting in a corner can do all the things based on a vibe. What's interesting to me about it is, We are harnessing all of this data and knowledge, and it's going to be driven by a vibe, which I know that that's like exaggerating a little bit, but it's like come full circle. Like, we're going to employ all this data and technology and all of this complicated stuff on somebody's vibe about what happened that day. And we're going to go out there and be able to go beep, boop, boop, and then boom, build a brand or market based on somebody's vibe because of all the tools at their disposal. That's kind of funny. Maybe we'll have more to do than play baseball.
Well, don't you run on vibes, Chris? I mean, I run on vibes. Like, the choices I make are based off of what's the vibe this is giving off. Do I want to engage? Does this feel right to me? Is this the kind of brand I want to be an ambassador for?
I suppose. I never thought of it that way. Do you explicitly use a vibe filter, Des?
Well, I mean, think about, like, I guess I think about vibes and it goes back to like the Tumblr days, right? where you would kind of, you would share the things that you vibe with. So you would kind of create your own vibe. Or maybe we can even go back to MySpace. Like you started with creating kind of your vibe, the experience that you want people to take away from engaging with you. So then from a marketing standpoint, if we're always trying to match vibes without a ton of context, we're using kind of, usually we're using a lot of just kind of whatever general demographics to reach folks. I know we're looking at doing more things contextually. And I say royal we, not us BPD. But marketers, they're always looking for the vibe, but they don't always quite capture it. So if this gives us that opportunity to really connect on a values or vibes level, I think that's the future goal of like personalization, right? I don't know, Stephanie, you might disagree.
Well, no, that's an interesting take. I hadn't thought of it that way. I think that the origin of this phrase is really the thought that one developer could do the work of 10 by sort of just saying, you know, I liked how you described it, Chris, like you imagine something, you put it into creation. It's almost like playing God for the day, right? Like I imagine and I create. But I like where you're going, Des. I hadn't thought of it that way, which is, and to tie in what you said, Chris, too, last week we were talking about how things change every second. And it's just like the vibe changes constantly. And so as marketers, gosh, I'm scared now thinking we need to build brands for the long term and we need to build brands that are rooted and grounded in research and strategy and data and insights and all of that. But yes, also how can we create faster, I think is a really interesting space too, to capture the vibe of the moment while also building your brand over time.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting out of it too, is the idea that if you follow the old approach and the number of people involved in the linear process, it's going to take you too long to capture the vibe. But all of the things coming together now should allow you to leverage it in the moment. If you know what you're looking for, if you're tapped into the vibe, if you've got that part of it. So that to me is the power part of it. And it goes right with the moments, because what we're talking about, I mean, vibes are going to be driven by moments more than anything else. A moment in a sporting event, a moment in pop culture, a moment in politics, whatever. Being able to leverage that fast and in a meaningful way seems like the breakthrough that wasn't possible without AI. It would have been very difficult for sure, but now it seems like you can do almost anything. And capture that vibe. I think I've just said the word vibe more than I have like in the last 5 years. I'm too old for this conversation. I should step way back.
Don't limit yourself. Lean into the vibe. But in a way, like when our earlier conversation around Barbie, like this is a prime example of a brand jumping right into the vibe, the moment, and really harnessing it. It's not quite, I imagine they planned it because like match day comes around. Fairly often, and they probably, you know, noted it maybe the last time. I was like, oh, this is a way that we can really jump in and engage. But it gives that opportunity, like you had mentioned, to actually be a part of the conversation, a part of a culture in real time, but then also making sure that you're connecting it back to your actual brand strategy and platform, but finding that way to connect it without losing your essence. All right, getting back to the graphics. So that's something that's really been kind of a frustration for me, was the addition of how do we keep text, right? Whenever I'm prompting in something and I want the right text on there, it never really happens. It's always like some other language or like multiple just like symbols or what have you. So this is really exciting for me. Granted, of course, I can download it and then put the text that I want using an editing platform. But I mean, it's kind of making a lot of that kind of stuff obsolete. Not that I'm thinking Adobe's going to go anywhere, because we still need some of those. But I guess actual software like SaaS, like, is that going to take more over than actually having these individual tools? Because we'll just be able to do everything from our web browser or what have you? Or I don't know. I guess it's what I kind of think about is like, what is the future of tools? And then, of course, like, what's the future of like my existence? Maybe it is just making art, since I'm not going to be working 2 days a week.
Yeah, there you go. We're all thinking 20 years ahead to just vibing around with our AI friends.
Stephanie, I would love, now's not the time. So maybe we can do a cliffhanger here. Because I know we've had some internal debates about the future of AI and kind of this idea that AI is, you know, it's just going to make the people that are already good at something better at it. Like if you want to take a decent photo, if you want to produce a decent photo at AI, you need to understand cameras and camera lenses and all that kind of stuff. You need to be a photographer to get the most out of it. I'm seeing and hearing more from even this tool that makes me believe that no, like at the end of the day, you will not have to have that expertise. You will not have to be a photographer to get a decent photo out of AI. And this is happening sooner than I would have even thought, because I was on the other end of that kind of conversation, but maybe we can get into that next time.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds like a fun combo.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap. For all of you listening, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter, The No Normal Rewind, which recaps the discussions you hear on The No Normal Show with some extra insights you won't find anywhere else. Expect thought-provoking articles, exclusive interviews, and a few hot takes. You can sign up at the link in our show notes or even subscribe via BPD's LinkedIn. Don't forget that we want to hear from you, so shoot us an email at nonormal@bpdhealthcare.com so that your question may be featured in our next episode. And make sure to share the show with friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. All of that would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the normal. Push that no normal, y'all, and we'll talk to you next week.
3, 2, 1.